Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. My guest today, Deborah M. Cody, is a popular speaker, columnist, and award-winning author of over 200 articles and 40 books. Her best-selling Too Blessed to Be Stressed series has sold more than 1.2 million copies in multiple languages worldwide. Deborah spent 36 years developing expertise in stress management in physical therapy clinics. She is known for helping women kiss stress goodbye and develop a deeper relationship with God through the tool of laughter. Good morning and welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you, Patty. I'm delighted to be here.
First of all, Deb, you wore different hats prior to embarking on your writing career. You didn't start out writing when you were real young. So tell us a little bit about those other occupations and how they have influenced your writing life.
Well, sure, Patty. I think all of the things that I have done from childhood up, as I look back in retrospect, they've all been preparation for my writing, my current writing ministry. And I'll bet you that's just pretty much the way everybody who is in a writing ministry feels, or any ministry for that matter. I'm sure your listeners can look back and see how Papa God has been preparing them for whatever their ministry is their entire life. As I was growing up, I was a rabid reader, and I just consumed every book I could get my hands on, any genre. I just ate them. I devoured them. And I know that since I've become an actual writer myself, I hear it repeatedly that the best preparation for becoming a writer is to be a reader. And that's what I was without realizing. Then as I grew, I was very, very involved in music. I took piano lessons for 12 plus years. And yeah, I used to fight my mother, and then I became a piano teacher. And now I thank her, but yeah, she used to make me practice all that. But anyway, that's what one must do to become good at something. So I also used to sing. Back in the day when I was young, I sang a lot in duets and quartets and even solos, sometimes in church. And then for some reason, whatever voice quality I had disappeared in childbirth. So I don't know where it went, but it went. So now I actually sing in my ministries. I write music. That's my piano playing in, and also I sing them myself, which is a part of the funny. I don't have to be a good singer. I'm a joyful noiser, so it's great. I'm not embarrassed for some reason to sound like that. And I think part of that is because another part of my life was spent in acting in community theaters and church skits and sketches and plays. And I enjoyed that for several years and took even classes in it at the local junior college. And I think all that has played into making me the writer-speaker that I turned out to be, that was my ministry that I never foresaw coming down the road.
What sounds so interesting, Deborah. And I love the fact that you refer to our Heavenly Father as Papa God. I think that is so cool.
Well, thank you. I forgot to mention one of the most obvious answers to the previous question. I went into occupational therapy. I often thought I might want to write one day, but that just kind of got backburned. And I went into science, and I went into occupational therapy and did that for 36 years. During the course of that time, I became a specialist in stress management in physical therapy clinics, and I was kind of the go-to girl in my area of Central Florida. And all the orthopedics would send their patients who had repetitive strain injuries and other problems with stress, physical stress, to me. I was the one that they sent them to, and I got really good at helping people decompress, I call it. And so that that kind of parlayed right into my successful series, Too Blessed to Be Stressed. I included a spiritual aspect, of course, an emotional aspect, but also the physical aspect. In my book, the original Too Blessed to Be Stressed was the chapter book, and then it kind of multiplied and went into a series, and now I've had 30-something books besides that one that all deal with the general stress, ideas of how to cope, how to make sure we don't stay stressed. Everybody gets stressed, but we don't have to stay stressed. So, yeah, that was my real job, quote unquote, was in physical therapy clinics for all those years. And that also, even to my surprise, led into my ministry for today.
Wow. That's, like I said earlier, it's just so interesting to learn how our past kind of weaves into our future in ways that we don't anticipate. And it's, I love to hear people's stories of, you know, how things are just fall into place. Deb, did you experience one of those now is the time moments that made you realize perhaps this was the path that God had planned for you to travel as far as launching your writing career? Was it like, okay, this is it? Or did you just kind of ease into it somehow?
Well, it was a curtain dropping, or actually rising, I guess. I was sitting in a dentist office in the year 2002, and my youngest chick was about to fly the coop. And as I sat there, I was in turmoil because I had been, for the last few weeks, worried and feeling that there was something I was supposed to be doing that I was missing. There was something else. At that point, I had been an OT for many, many years and taught piano for decades. And I even taught a stint at a junior college in anatomy and physiology. But there was something else. I just felt it in my bones, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And as I was sitting there in the dentist office with a little time on my hands as I was waiting, I prayed about it and just kind of reached down and picked up a random magazine and flipped it open. And there was a writing ad, an ad for a writing contest. And it just like a light bulb popped on inside my head. Boing. Oh, I used to say when I was a kid I wanted to write one day. And I had books that sparked that desire and planted a seed in me. For instance, Catherine Marshall's Christie was one of the main ones as I was a teenager that, you know, lit a fire in me that one day I would love to touch other people's hearts the way that book had touched my heart. But again, it all got backburnered for all those years while life took over. You know, then finally here I'm sitting there thinking, really, how do I do this? I hadn't written anything in 25 years other than medical charts and the occasional Christmas newsletter. That was all that I had written. So I ended up getting a mentor who was a friend of a friend who had had a little positive experience with Christian magazine articles. And we met monthly, and I consumed every kind of educational magazine and anything I could about the writing industry and also about punctuation and grammar, and kind of gave myself a crash course and reminders of how to write. And I launched. It was just amazing. I with this friend's help, she was helped me not look like an amateur, which turned out to be the key to getting 10 articles published that first year. And so that was I didn't know that was a big deal until a year or two later when I started going to writers' conferences and I realized just, wow, that's really unusual to get 10 articles published the first year. And so, you know, Papa God really blessed my efforts from the start. And I just think, you know, when I talk to writing groups, I always say, I'm a big proponent that if God wills it, he fulfills it. And against all odds, and I was like the least likely person to be a writer, but I wanted it. And I knew it was in his will, and he provided the opportunities for me to pursue that.
Well, I thought I had read, it was the story of the dentist's office.
Yeah,
it was at the back of my mind when I asked you that question. I knew there was some, you were one of the three people that was like, yes, this is, you know, God is telling me you need to do this, and right now is the time. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Deb. Well, like you said, you had an interest in writing when you were younger, and like a lot of us, life gets in the way. All of your dreams of being a writer kind of set on the back burner, and it's like, just like with me, it's like, yeah, someday, someday, someday. When you finally decided to start writing, things had changed considerably, I'm sure. If you're in that same age group that I am,
indeed,
how did you bring yourself up to speed with all of the modern technology? You know, back in the day, you took your manuscript and you put it in an envelope and you sent it by mail and you prayed that somebody would answer you within the next few months. And now you've got the electronic submissions, and you've got all of this publicity that you have to do, marketing and all these different social media outlets. How did you bring yourself up to speed with all that, Deb?
Well, it was tough, and it was a little intimidating for an old, you know, old gray mare like me. But, you know, I come from the days when we sent SASE SASEs in, which means self-addressed stamped envelope.
Yes.
If you wanted to get a reply, you had to send them a self-addressed stamped envelope and hope. And even then you didn't get a reply half the time. It could be yes, it could be no, it could be go stick your head in the sand. You know, you didn't know what you were going to get, if anything. Sometimes it's that way today, even with the electronics. But I really started making sure that I stayed up on every trade journal that came out, Writer's Digest, The Writer. There are quite a few that keep you up on the edge, cutting edge. And I made sure I didn't miss one that ever came out, studied nuts and bolts of writing. And so, you know, what's odd is in the writing industry, some of those nuts and bolts change over the years, as you previously alluded to. For instance, sometimes I'll get people asking me to edit one of their manuscripts, and they're still skipping two spaces after the end of each sentence. And that was what we learned in typing class back in the 1960s and maybe 70s, maybe even 80s, but they don't do that anymore. And I have to try to break it gently to these people. You know, if an editor for a publishing house sees these kind of, not just that, but there's other stylistic devices that have changed, the use of commas, the use of semicolons, you have to keep yourself up on that. You have to study your Chicago Manual of Style, because that's what most of the publishers go by. You have to read your Christian Writer's Market Guide if you want to know, or if it's secular, the Writer's Market. Those are the two Bibles for writers. That they have every publication listed. They have all of the requirements, and you have to stick to it to the letter for each different publishing house, what they expect, what they want. They have grocery lists. They don't take just anything. There's certain things they're looking for, and you don't send a cat piece to a dog publisher, you know, so you, you have to be on top of it. So, yeah, I had to, for numerous years, I had to really buckle down and make sure I was keeping myself abreast of all the new changes, because there are new ones every year. Since I've been in many writers' groups, and every now and then someone will say, I don't know why I don't get any answers from me. Here's what I sent them, and I look at it, and it's full of typos. They didn't proofread it. It's not got half the things that they said they needed, required, even the format. They were doing incorrect formats. Well, those things just get put right in the slush pile. They have hundreds and hundreds of others that people have submitted. They don't need to waste their time on yours if you don't even know how to follow rules. But
exactly.
People still do. It's amazing.
That's the thing. Yeah, and that there's people that I have often thought, if you're writing for this blog, have you gone to the website to look at maybe one?
Really? Exactly.
To see what my format is? You know, I could not imagine trying to write an article for a magazine that I've never even looked at, you know?
That's exactly true. If anybody is an aspiring writer, and I hope there are some listening, you know, there are certain ways you have to do things. You can't break the rules until you know the rules and until you follow the rules. You know, so you have to follow what they say to do. They have reasons why they have the rules a certain way.
Yes, exactly. Well, Deb, let's get back to your – I know you mentioned a little bit about your motivation for writing your Too Blessed to Be Stressed series. But would you tell us what readership is the main target of the series?
Well, I'd say women, generally between the ages of 18 and 80. And I know that's a tricky thing to say, because that's a large age range. Got a lot of different products out in the Too Blessed to Be Stressed series. And my goal for them all is to encourage and support Christ followers. And they come in all ages and sizes and shapes and, you know, gender. Well, not usually genders, although I've written men before. And sometimes women leave, I guess I'm a potty writer. I didn't mean to be. But they leave my books in the bathroom because... because they, you know, they're short chapters and they're quick takeaways, and so they're menfolk. As they come in the bathroom, the only place they sit all day, they pick them up and read them. And I've gotten quite lovely letters from men saying, I love your books. I'm a fan, just like my wife.
Sure. Yeah.
So I do have different products in the Too Blessed to Be Stressed line that kind of go to different age groups, although I generally say women ages 18 to 80.
And, you know, I think at every age group there's a set of stressors. And like I say, of course, this whole COVID-19 thing is kind of causing a degree of stress for everybody. You know, I don't care how old you are or whether
yes.
you're a man or a woman. So
yes,
your book
indeed.
Should be doing very well about now.
Actually, isn't that interesting? Yes, I think I've benefited slightly from the stress that's created by the current world situation, yeah, which is sad but true. my book sales have done very well through COVID.
Yes, yes. Well, not only that, but we have a little, I don't get political on this podcast, but we have a lot of political unrest going on and just a lot of stress there with what's going on in our country and in the world in general. And it wears on a person. I don't care who you are. I think to a degree it does. It just wears on a person's spirit.
It definitely so, does. And that's so true. One of the things I include in my books is some coping tools, some simple, doable coping tools and different ways, techniques that you can make sure you have biblical principles of finding Papa God's peace, which is not the same as the world's peace, but to find his peace in our everyday. And I think
yes.
that's a much needed message for today.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. Well, Deb, as you know, the premise of this show is for people to share ways that they have been in it. People who have been in a dark time and found their way back to light, or people like you who bring others out of darkness and back to light through their writing, their music, their other creative endeavors, whatever. Do you have a dark time in your life that you were really having a rough time and you found your way back to light? And it could even have to do with your writing career, or it could be something more personal, whatever is something that you feel comfortable sharing.
Well, yes, I have certainly more than one, but the most recent dark period was 2018. My family had suffered 6 losses of immediate family members within the 1 year. And we were having a very, very rough time of it, and along rolls in 2019 and then COVID right behind it. And it's just been the last few years. And I know, I hate saying that because I know everyone is struggling in some way, and some more than one way, and my heart goes out to them. But we were still reeling from those major losses. They included a suicide, and it just a terrible sudden death of my father and different people. And it was just dreadful. And a divorce, which was unforeseen and completely took us all by surprise. And then numerous other things were just kind of compounded it. And the way that I came back to the light, and I will admit that I was sunk into darkness for a period of time. It was just it was depression. I wouldn't call it clinical depression, but it was circumstantial depression. And it was just, I felt just lost. And I think what helped me will definitely help other people. I knew I had to do something, and I knew I had to do it biblically. It had to be biblical because that is the only truth. And I found the covenant, the promise that God sent in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I realized within that passage was a covenant's an agreement between two parties. You do this, I'll do that. That's what a covenant is. And our part of that covenant, if we come to him, to God in prayer, through number one, prayer, and number two, thanksgiving, then he will do his part, which is he will give us number one, supernatural peace, and number two, contentment with our situation regardless of our circumstances. And that is a supernatural kind of peace because it doesn't make sense to the world. It doesn't make sense when most of us are jerked around by our emotions, which are dictated by our circumstances. And we can allow that to happen, and we do usually allow that to happen. But we don't have to live that way at the mercy of our emotions. And so I started leaning on that verse and repeating it to myself, posting it everywhere, every mirror in the house that I ever go to, inside my car, on my phone. It would pop up everywhere. I would say it out loud, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and I would think about every word and meditate on it and think about that covenant. If I do this, He'll do that. It's a promise. And as I've leaned onto that promise, He has kept His promise every single time. And it's just been, it's been amazing for me. And I developed this acronym for PEACE, which I think is very helpful. P-E-A-C-E stands for P, placing, E, each, A, aggravation at, C, Christ. Feet, E, expectantly. And expectantly, that's the key right there. That's the key. If we expect Him to respond and keep His half of the covenant, He does, and He will. And I've just been very, very helped by that myself just recently in the last few years. Again, that's placing each aggravation at Christ's feet expectantly.
Yep, and I put that. I just typed that out on my little notes here, and I will probably even put that in on my website when I put your information
in there.
Wonderful.
Feel free. Yeah. I found that very helpful for me to just repeat it to myself every time I start to feel anxiety and every time I start to feel overwhelmed, because I feel that we can be whelmed without being overwhelmed. And we just kind of let ourselves have runaway emotions, and we just follow the emotions rather than reining them in like the Bible tells us to do, and having them under control and submitting them to Papa God. And He will take care of them, but we just have to discipline ourselves to do that.
I love that you use that particular verse in Scripture, or those particular verses, Deb, because back in 2001, I had worked for the VA hospital near my town for several years, and they were closing, and it was just horrible for not the only employees there, but for our whole community, because that was our main source of employment, you know, and there was there was a lot going on, and it was pretty bad, and everybody was stressed, and I did like you did. I put that verse on my computer screen, for one thing.
Yeah.
I would type it out, and I would carry it around in my pocket. Of course, back then we didn't have cell phones yet. So, but anyway, every different places, I would just put those particular verses of Scripture to where I could read them and think about them, because there was just so much stress going on at that time. And to me, that is one of the best verses for relieving stress and helping us to remember that God does make those promises, and that in the end, it's going to be okay. So I'm so glad that you relied on that as well.
Indeed.
Well, Deb, this is a time in the show when I would like to take a little, what I call a little break, kind of almost a little station identification, if you will. just to remind listeners that you're listening to Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. I am honored today to have guest Deborah M. Cody. She's a speaker. She's a columnist. She's an award-winning author of several articles and books. Her best-selling Too Blessed to Be Stressed series, we've talked about that quite a bit at the beginning of the show, and a little bit about Deb's writing career. She can be found at, I believe it's Deborah M. Cody. Is it Deb?
DeborahCody.com is the website, but yes.
Yeah. D-E-B-O-R-A Cody.com. And I want listeners to be aware that if you've listened to this podcast and you'd like to listen to it again, or you would like to refer it to friends and family, which of course we would love to have you do, go to my website, which is Patty Sheen, that's spelled P-A-T-T-I-S-H-E-N-E.com. And there on the very front page, you will find a link to my Blog Talk Radio. Just click on that and it will give you a list of all of the shows that we have broadcast to date. Just click on Deborah's show, and there's be a little tab that says more information, and that's where you will find the links that I'm going to put up to her website, her social media outlets, and all those kind of things. And I will also put up links to her books to where they can be purchased. I certainly hope that you will pursue learning a little bit more about Deb. There'll be a little bit more information about her also on the website. So with that, we're going to use the second half of the show to talk about one of the things that Deb knows best, which she has written about quite a bit, which is stress. So Deb, we take it for granted that we all know what the word stress means. We use it every day, but would you share with us your definition and what you know based on your experience? And you said you had been in physical therapy, occupational therapy for years, and you've worked with this particular area. So tell us what it means to you, your definition in your words.
Sure. I think my working definition of stress is unrelenting pressure. It's a state that results from any physical, emotional, or spiritual factor that this kind of just exerts conflict or pressure on us for a prolonged period, something that alters our equilibrium. And again, I worked in clinics where I had patients who were either literally bowed down by stress, even people that work at computers a lot. It's a stressor on certain muscles, your shoulder muscles, your neck muscles, your pecs, different parts of your body that have to do repetitive motions over and over and over all day long, 8 hours, 12 hours. And that creates stress both mentally and emotionally, but also physically. And that was my job, was to help release some of the tension and to try to keep some major disabilities from occurring. There's in my books, especially my Too Blessed to Be Stressed, the original chapter book, I have chapters on the different physical ailments that we can get from repetitive strain injuries. And also, you know, it works a number on our minds. And so I try to address each of those different areas, the emotional, the physical, the spiritual, and try to make sure that I've covered them well so that we can try to figure out how to reinstate our equilibrium and get that pressure off of us. Which, you know, in my talk that I give to groups, and I love it. I just love it when people invite me to speak to their groups. But one of the things I start out with is I ask three volunteers to come up to the front, and I hand them a cotton ball. And I say, now, how much would you say this cotton ball weighs? They say, oh, you know, I don't know, half an ounce. I say, okay, now I want you to hold it over your head for the next 10 minutes until I tell you to put it down. So I give a little introduction, and they're standing behind me holding this cotton ball up over their head. And by the time I finish doing the first segment, the first 10 minutes, turn around, and they have distress written all over their faces. And some of them have lowered that cotton ball because they just can't keep it up there. And others are trying to hold it up with both hands. Some have propped their elbow up on something, even on the person next to them, trying to help hold it up. And so I make the point, now how much do you think that cotton ball weighs now? And they say, oh, half a ton. And, you know, I say, well, nothing's changed with the cotton ball. But when we try to hold something, anything, even something as small as a cotton ball, that stressor will eventually feel like it's going to break our arm. It's going to cause us damage. And we have to learn to lay those cotton ball worries down at the foot of the cross. And so that's what my talk then is about, is all the different ways that we can do that. How do we, in actuality, lay those worries down at the foot of the cross?
Exactly. Oh, I love that. I'd love to see that demonstration. But, yeah, I could see me. I'd be able to hold it up there for probably for about maybe 45 seconds. You know, I understand exactly what you're saying. Well, it's kind of interesting, we as human beings, Deb, you'd think that we would do everything we could to avoid becoming stressed, and yet it seems like we're always walking right into more stress. What do you think are some of the reasons that we let ourselves become so stressed?
Well, there's as many reasons, I think, as there are personalities, but I would say some of the main ones are unrealistic expectations, not only for ourselves, but from ourselves and from others. I would say also excessive busyness and hectic lifestyles. You know, that's either gotten accentuated with COVID or it's gotten finally relieved a little bit in some cases of people. But I suspect within a year we're going to be right back to that crazy busy lifestyle that we were having before, because our children are still there, our homes are still there, hopefully our jobs are still there, our responsibilities are still there. So we're probably going to ease back into those excessive busyness lifestyles that we had. Choking finances, and I know that many of us are feeling that pinch even more these days. Unstable health issues. Also, negative self-talk is something that I talk quite a lot about in my book, how we don't even realize we are engaging in negative self-talk, and we're kind of cutting our own knees out from under us when we do that. And it just adds more stress and more stress to help us realize we're not, or think, not to realize, but to think that we're not stacking up. We're not good enough. We just don't measure up to everybody around us. And they all give us a sense of discontentment when we dwell on that negative self-talk. So I have several chapters in many of my books that discuss self-talk.
Let me grab onto that one phrase you used, Deb, don't even realize. And I think sometimes we don't even realize that we are piling more and more stressors upon ourselves. And I'll give you an example relating to what you did in physical therapy and occupational therapy. I used to go to a chiropractor every once in a while, and she would tell me, why do you let your pain gets so bad to where when I work on you now, I really have to work. And I'll tell her it's because I don't realize I'm having that much pain until it gets this bad.
Mm-hmm.
I wake
that's
up
right.
in the morning, I'm a little bit stiff, but that's arthritis, and I'm getting older, and it's to be expected. But then it goes on and on and on, and after a while you wake up one morning and you're like, man, this really, really hurts. You know, something's
yeah.
real wrong here.
And at that point, getting it relieved is even harder because we just waited a little too long.
And we do that, I think, emotionally and psychologically too. And I'm thinking about, like you talked about with the COVID, the different commitments that we make. Oh, this is only 2 hours a week. Yeah, I can do that. Oh, okay, well, this is only once a month. Yeah, I can do that. And pretty soon, you look at your calendar and you're like, well, gee whiz, I don't even have a single day to myself that I don't have to go or be somewhere, you know?
Yes, yes. And I also wanted to mention that when you were talking about your physical pain due to the stress, I have in my Too Blessed to Be Stressed book, and on my website, if you go to DeborahCody.com and click on the Too Blessed to Be Stressed book page, near the bottom there are some wonderful references. There's I call them my 2-minute stress busters, and they're little videos, and they show different aspects of stress management that you can do at home, and they're very short. They're only a couple minutes, but one of them shows. Well, actually, two of them show different exercises that I developed in my clinic and with my patients that were extremely popular because they work, and they're very simple. One of them is called, I call it my six-pack of decompressing stretches, and they you can do them anywhere, in a car, in your chair, standing up, sitting down, in your bed, but they're wonderful. They take about maybe 10 minutes tops, probably not even that long, to run through all six of the six-pack, and they're just wonderful. I do them when I do speaking engagements. I actually teach them to the people there, and we do them together. And I tell them, look at that. You just got $100 worth of free therapy.
Oh, nice. Wow, I'll have to check that out. I did download your, I think you had a free chapter, it was called, or something.
Yeah.
And I read that. I love the humor in your writing. It was like, oh, wow, this lady just makes me laugh.
Thank you.
What do you think, Deb, especially relating to Christian women, is the most stressful issue that we face today? Is there any one or maybe two things that you could pinpoint and say, yeah, this is really difficult for us right now?
I would say the unpredictability that we're dealing with. These are extremely unpredictable times, never before faced, probably in our lifetimes quite like this. We've got the COVID with our health, the health issues kind of just hanging in midair. finances may be very iffy. And what has bothered me so much lately, and I know it does all of us, is the muddying of truth. What we have always believed is now being questioned. And I know that it's always been that way to some extent. But if you just go online and look on social media, you see ugliness and arguing and breaking down of truths that we know to be true because they're biblical. And people are just trying to stomp on them in some cases. I don't mean everyone. But I think the muddying of truth is a very, very sad and dangerous thing that we're having to deal with right now. So I would just put that under the category of the unpredictability that we're trying to get ourselves through right now.
I would definitely tend to agree with you with that, Deborah. Yeah, absolutely. What have you learned about stress as it relates to your faith journey? And I didn't even ask you at the beginning of the program, did you grow up in a Christian home? Do you have a strong faith base from your childhood, or is that something that you developed later in life? And what have you learned about stress along the way?
Well, I definitely did grow up in a Christian home. I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 8 years old. I went through a rough time as a teenager just questioning my faith as I tried it on, and I tried on different religions to try to see which fit me. And I got what I call a second touch. I think the Lord reached out to me in my confusion and my earnest, sincere seeking, and brought some people into my life that were strong, good Christians that were dedicated to serving the Lord God and Jesus Christ. And they kind of pulled me the right direction. I could have easily gone the wrong direction, but I went the right direction, and I've been serving my Savior ever since. And I think to answer the question, let's see, you said what in my stress, how it relates to my faith journey. I would say that stress is inevitable for me, for you, for everyone. It's inevitable. It's just the way that our world is concocted at the moment that we are going to feel stressed, but we don't have to stay stressed. And that's why we need such good coping tools that are scripturally based to learn miracle memory. That's what I call it. So we don't have to default to fear. We can default to faith when stressors hit us flat in the face that we're not expecting. And I call miracle memory that because it's kind of based on the idea of muscle memory. As you know, if you want a pitcher or a baseball pitcher or a gymnast, they have to learn muscle memory. They have to teach their muscles by doing, repeating, throwing that ball down to that inside corner of the plate over and over and over, doing that backflip on that tiny little beam that nobody can even believe she can land on, but she does it over and over and over. And that's how they teach their muscles muscle memory. They know they automatically default to that motion, to that movement, to that response. And I think that's the same way with our faith. We have to practice it, and we have to make sure we do the right response over and over and over. And when we do a wrong response, we default to fear, we correct ourselves. We catch it, we become aware of it, and we change it so that the next time we're going to eventually learn miracle memory that God, He's the God of miracles. Papa God, that's what His business is. And we just don't expect big enough answers to our prayers, I think. Papa God, we have to learn that He can and He does do miracles in our lives. And sometimes He says no, but we never know when He's going to pull His power down and absolutely rock our world. You know, one of my favorite verses has become Ephesians 3:20-21. To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory forever and ever. You know, that's exactly it. He is able, He can, He will, He does, to do exceedingly abundantly beyond, I love those words, all that we ask or think, according to His power and His will that's working within us. And, you know, if we can learn to expect that and to realize that's a possibility, it gives us hope. It gives us so much hope, and we need that more than anything these days.
We sure do. And I think we, in our finiteness, have such a hard time understanding the infinity of his power and the omniscience. His capabilities are just so much more than we in our finite minds can even begin to fathom. That,
girlfriend. Yeah.
So, I know I went through some periods of doubt with this foot surgery. You know, I had it way back on May 19th, and they did basically three different surgeries in one kind of, and long haul, you know. And there were times when I just thought, oh, man, am I ever going to get through this? Am I ever going to really walk again normally like I used to?
And, you know, that element of hope makes all the difference in the world. I understand that completely through the things that my dark areas I've been through. But also a few years ago I had three knee surgeries on the left and two on the right. Mm. And it was just kind of the same thing you're describing. It was darkness for a while. And you know, it's hard, but it's possible to keep uplifted during those times. But we have to be proactive. We can't sit around like a wet noodle waiting on the holiness water to boil around us and plump us up. We have to do something about it.
If only we would take those fears and those doubts and just turn them over to God and keep them there. It's so easy to turn them over to him, but boy, we're so quick to grab them back, you know?
We sure are. We jerk them right back out of his hands. Yep, we do.
Well, Deb, this has been a pure delight visiting with you this morning. I would like to ask you before we go is if there's anything that we didn't discuss that you would like to mention, first of all.
Perhaps just that I know it may have irritated some people that I kept referring to things in the book that will help us relieve stress and things that techniques and tips and wonderful ideas. But I can't just go into them here because there's so many, which is why I just keep saying refer to the books and refer to the two-minute stress busters at my website. And I hope that people will follow through on that because there are some extremely helpful ideas that I get letters all the time from people. My books are now in three languages, so I get a lot of letters I can't even read sometimes. But, yeah, I know that they're helpful, and I know that people are relying on them and have found them extremely useful. So that is why I just say please do follow up if you're having some struggles in these areas of stress management.
Right, and that's exactly what I intended, Debbie. I don't expect people to go through a page-by-page description of their book, otherwise, you know, and what would be the point
Sure. I just wanted to make that clear.
I kind of like
clear.
To get people's appetite with my questions, you know, is, hey, you really need to buy this book or their guest because she or he has some wonderful ideas out there, you know. So, no, you did exactly fine, I think. Last question I would like to ask you, though, how can listeners contact you for a possible speaking engagement?
Oh, I would be delighted. That's one of my favorite things. At DeborahCoty.com, and that's spelled DeborahCoty.com. There is a contact page, and there's also some pages for about my writing ministry and the different topics that I have available. And all of my presentations are biblically based and laced with humor. So I have them for different ages as well. I have one called I Ain't Dead Yet that I do for the I call it the sweetly ripened audiences. And so I have some for young folks as well, and lots for moms, and some for the women in the middle of all that. So I have different ones available.
Very good. Now, I realize that you are in Florida. I'm out here in Colorado. How far are you willing to travel, and do you do a fee basis deal when you do travel?
I go all over the country, wherever I'm invited. I do have it's a little bit flexible, my fee, because I know that there's a lot of church groups and smaller groups who don't have funds available at this time. And I try to give, and I try to work within their budget. And we've never had a problem coming to some agreement, even if it's just the people there take up a love offering. Mm-hmm. If I have to fly somewhere, I would appreciate the airfare. And I'm even willing to stay at people's homes as to avoid a motel if that helps their budget. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, excellent. Alrighty, Deb. Well, once again, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's just been a pure delight to visit with you, and I'm sure that I'm hoping that my listeners will pursue what you had to offer through your books and your website.
Thank you, Patty. It was my joy.
Well, may God bless you in your ministry, and you take care.
Thank you. You too.
Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not so quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Thank you for being with us today. Check out Deb's website and maybe obtain some of her books. And let's hope that things will settle down here in our country and with COVID, and that maybe we can all be a little bit less stressed in the next few months. But just remember that God is always there with us, and he is the one that will take that stress off of our shoulders, and he empowers people like Deb to find ways to help do that as well. May God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire.